where Nehemiah Perek Tes Pasuk Chavav, we're in the midst of the large speech that Nehemiah gives them, right when they're sitting in front of the, you know, the base of Mikdash and everybody's getting ready, and Ezra Sofer has already read from the Sefer Torah. He's telling them about all the crazy things. Vayamru vayimru dubach. Right, so they disobeyed you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they rebelled against you. They threw their Torah after your Torah, after their backs, behind their own bodies. They decided to take care of themselves first and the Torah later. They've killed your Nevi'im, that testified against them to return them to you. And they did horrible things, great things that were absolutely terrible. Now, it's possible that the killing of the prophets is a reference to Zechariah Navi was killed in the base of Mikdash. It could be referring to Menashe killing his grandfather Yeshaya, right over there. It seems like there were different levels over here. Vayamru is first they rebelled, they just disobeyed, didn't do what the Torah says, and did stuff like that. Then it was Vayimridu, Mered is a higher level than just causing bitterness, right, in which they're actually rebelling outwardly about what's after. And then they took your Torah and cast it away as if it was an outdated code of law that we don't need to worry about anymore. And that's the idea behind it. And this is the idea behind it. Now, Rav Schwab says a really good thing over here. It's not the pshat that people commit sins. And I remember having this as an argument with my mashgiach years ago, my first year in Eretz Yisrael.
You used to argue with your rabbi?
Always. So only when I was an apikoros. No. Now I'm.
Oh, you did teshuva.
Yeah, for sure. So, but I remember that he said that when you sin, it shows a lack of emunah. And my line is that I don't think it shows a lack of emunah because I felt like my emunah is strong. I just, when it comes to certain things.
Your type is stronger.
Yeah, my type is stronger.
I agree with you.
This is there. So I had that argument for quite a while. I understood where he was coming from. I got it. I understood it. But I still felt that wasn't necessarily a lack of emunah. But I hear it. I can hear the other side now. I just couldn't at the time.
How do you hear the other side?
I can hear that if you had true emunah, you believed in a Kadosh Baruch 100%, you would never be able to do anything wrong. I can hear that. Mm-hmm. Whether I believe it or not, I hear the concept, right? But I do get the idea. Here he says,
so Moshe
people don't.
A sin, so he was lacking in emunah.
There must have been like a lack right at
you
that moment.
To guy, pick up the telephone and talk to the guy.
No, that around.
He didn't have emunah when he hit the rock.
No. Well, that Yan Sher Lo Amantim be. But you could turn it around. You could say that shows you that it wasn't a real chet because he couldn't have had a lack of emunah, so therefore he didn't sin. You know what I'm saying? Look, you could turn it around. You could turn it around a little bit. But he says, Rav Schwab says over here, people commit sins even if they have full emunah because they have a fascination with violating God's will. Listen to that idea. You have a fascination. People have that fascination. It was because the heavenly voice. So listen to this idea. He says, it was because the heavenly voice prohibited idolatry that gave them the urge, the taiva, to do exactly what they did.
So did they also have a taiva to wear shanes or to like?
I don't know about that because people don't really understand that. But you do have the fascination of like, why do I need to then? Like if you know that the suit has, I mean, my brother just not too long ago took a suit and he tried it on and he put it on and he's like, oh, I got to check. And he looked at it and it said 50% wool, 50% linen. He's like, how is that possible? It was an actual suit, very expensive suit. It literally said, the amount's right there. So he called me up. He's like, is there any way to take care of this? This is a beautiful suit. I'm like, no. But he says like this, he says, Mayim genuvim min taku v'lechem sesar min. As we say in Mishlei, right, that stolen waters are what tastes. So ordinary water does not taste like anything. It has a flat taste, right? Or it tastes like something very plain, right? But if it's stolen water, then it has the sweetness of the sin himself. So it says, it's amazing. More emunah you have.
This probably comes from the fact that if somebody needs to steal water, they're really thirsty.
Okay, I hear you. So he says, the more emunah you have, he says, the greater the fascination of violating God's will. It makes you even more susceptible to that idea. Chachamim call that the Yetzirah. The greater the person, the greater the Yetzirah. The greater the urge, the greater his fascination with sin. So therefore, the greater is your test when you come into a situation like that. That's how bad it can get at one point. That's the idea behind it. It says, Batitnem biatoreim, you deliver them into the hands of their enemies. Vayatseru lahem, and you oppress them. Right, and in the time of their pain, they cried out to you. You heard it from the heavens. And with your great mercy, you gave them saviors. And you saved them, or they were saved from the hands of their oppressors. And when things went better for them, when they got more comfortable, they went and they did evil in front of you. And you put them into the hands of their enemies. And they ruled over them. And then they went and called out to you. You heard them from the heavens. Right? You saved them with your great mercy at certain times. And then you went and you warned them. To go back to your Torah. But they went. They sinned against it. Which people should do and live through them. But you know, called safe soreris. And they turned a unwilling shoulder. And they hardened their necks, Veloshmeo, and they refused to listen when it comes to them. So that's the idea behind it. So he says that, I guess that the way of looking down from Shemayim makes it a little bit easier. Now listen to this idea over here. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks down from Shemayim, then the sins look mighty small, right? The higher you're up, the more you're further away, then the smaller the sin looks. If he'd look from earth itself, he'd look at it, he'd be like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. But from all the way up there, it seems like it's absolutely nothing. So in theory, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down. And Pasuk Lamed, Vatin Shoach Leim Shanim Rabos, you extended to them many years, and you warned them with your spirit through many of your Nevi'im, and they didn't listen, and you put them in the hands of the people around them, the people of the land. Your abundant mercy, you did not destroy them, you did not forsake them, because you are a gracious and merciful God. And now, our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the El HaGadol Gibor Vano, we'll get back to that in a second, right? Shomer HaBris VaChasid, he watches over the Bris and the Chasid, Al Yamat, Lifanech HaSkol Tola Shomer Asnu. He should not, I guess you should not, make small in your eyes all the oppression that we've had. Right, what happened to our kings, what happened to our officers, to our kohanu, to our prophets, and our fathers, and all of your people, from the days of the king of Assyria, until these days right over here. Whether or not that king of Assyria is referenced back to Nebuchadnezzar, because remember we did for some reason call him the king of Assyria, or it refers all the way back to Chizkiyahu HaMelech from the times of the tribes. You are a tzaddik for everything that happened to us, obviously. You have done the truth, you have done exactly what we needed, and we are the ones who have done evil when it comes to all this stuff, right? Which is exactly what we say over there. Now, a little bit of an interesting thing. We all know that in the Torah itself, it does say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. That line is mentioned in, where is it over there? In Devarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud, Zayin. Now, it's interesting, the same type of line is used in three other places in Tanakh aside from here. It's used in Yirmiyah, it's used in Daniel, and it's used in Ezra. In Yirmiyah, the word Nora is missing. And Chazal say that Yirmiyah, who saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, didn't see the awesomeness of God, and therefore took it out. Daniel, right, who experienced all the crazy things, right, when they were in Bavel, left out the word Gibor. Right, he said, Gibor is not there. There was no Gevura that he saw in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the destruction of his enemies. He didn't see the Gevura itself.
What was the Gevura that Yirmiyahu saw?
I would assume, I don't know, maybe the powerfulness in which it happened.
Well,
that could be.
But he also lived in the times of the Beis HaMikdash too.
Right, oh, so maybe the Gevura of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, that makes sense. Right, and that's that. And Ezra, right, also, earlier in Ezra, the word Gibor is missing also. That could be also because the Beis HaMikdash had not been rebuilt yet, so they were still missing something. Now that everything's better, so to speak, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so to speak, the crown comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We go back to what it was like during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when he says, Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor HaNora, which is what we say in our Shemona Esrei. Perhaps this is a hint to them making the Shemona Esrei at some point during this time. We know sometime during the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, Shemona Esrei was created. Perhaps it was made during this time as well.
The mission about this is that's why we could only say Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. We can't.
Because Moshe Rabbeinu did, right, and we went back to it.
Right, but if you keep going, you can never stop. That's why
you are right. There's a Gemara in Brachos that goes into the one guy got up there in front of Rabba or Rava and started going on. He said to Azuz, you know, and all the accolades that you could say about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He said, "Have you finished saying over all the praises of the Lord?" Right? Obviously, it's you have to stop at a certain point. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. And then he says, what is it? So now, right, all our kings, our officers, our kohanim, our fathers, they didn't do your Torah. They did not listen to your mitzvah and all of your laws that you warned them to do. And they, in their kingdom, and through your great goodness, that you gave them, right, and the land, the wide, expansive, and fat land, rich land, land that you gave in front of the Lo'avaducha, they did not serve you properly, and they did not go back from their evil ways. Later on, we're going to see that Nehemiah is punished for speaking this way about his fathers and about the forefathers that came before him. He shouldn't have said these lines.
I was going to ask who he was referring to in Abba
Sinu. Yeah, it's referring to, you know, the unfaithfulness, so to speak, of his fathers and the people out there, right? Listen, it's true they went into Gullus and everything like that, but it sounds like, but we've done better now, and you can't do that. You can't say it in that way. Today, we are servants of yours. The land that you gave over to your fathers in order to eat from its fruit and all of its goodness, we are your servants upon it, and we're willing to do it. To us, and all of its produce, right? You have made increased for all of our kings, for everybody else, for all of our sins, right? And all of our bodies, and all of our livestock, as they wish you've done, and yet, we are still in great distress. In other words, there is a precarious existence at this time. They're still worried about Sanballat and Tovia and all those other people that were the crazy people out there. They could be attacked at any time. So although things are doing much, much better and we have the Persian kingdom on our side and people are happy with us, etc., that doesn't guarantee that things are going to be great forever. Cholzos anachnu, okay, Pasuk Aleph and Perek Yud. Cholzos anachnu korsim amana v'kosvim v'ala chasum. Nonetheless, we are declaring some type of a bris. I don't know what you want to call it. A shtar amana is something of faith that we assume that everything is going to go out well, and we're writing it together. I'm sorry?
Letter of what?
Yeah, so to speak. And as the signature, we're bringing out our princes, our Levim, and our
Kohanim.
And on the signatures were the following. Nechamia HaTershasa, that's obviously Nechamia, Ben Chachalio, Vitzidkia, and also Tzidkia as well.
He
likely.
Still around?
Who, Nechamia?
Tzidkia.
So we don't know who this Tzidkia is. It's definitely not the king. Not right. The king Tzidkia, he was dead for a while already. But who Tzidkia was and what this was supposed to be, we're not sure, but it sounds like he was the second in command, right? Sroya Azariah Yirmiah, Pashkor Amaria Malkia, Chatush Shvanya Maluch, Charim Maremos Ovadia, Daniel Ginson Baruch, Mishulam Aviyah Miyamin, Maaziah Vilgai Shmaya Ela Kohanim. Those were all Kohanim. I don't know. I doubt it, because likely these were all Kohanim. I'm not sure Baruch Ben Yirmiah was a Kohen.
Wait, Ela Kohanim, was Nechamiah a Kohen? He was from Yehuda, wasn't he?
Nehemiah was not. No. But it could be that. That's why the first ones. And then the others, Sroya, Azariah, Yirmiah.
Maybe it's just Maaziah and Bilgai, Shmaya. They're the Kohanim.
Yeah, it's possible.
Daniel could
yeah.
be the same.
It's definitely possible. But then he goes to Halavim, the Yeshua ben Aznaya. That's weird.
Where's
oh,
Ezra?
I think his actual name was V'Yeshua, not Yeshua. Isn't that interesting? Right? Binoi Mibnechei Nadot Kadmiel,
Lachem,
and their brothers. Yeah, what do you guys have? Here, yeah. It says, Vachem and their brothers, right? Shvanya Hodia Klita Ploya Hanan, Micha Rechov Chashavya, Zakar Sheravya, Shvanya Hodia Bani Beninu over here. We'll get back to one thing, we'll get back to in a second. Rashi Am, the heads of the people. Oh, so now it's the heads of the people, so it does sound that way, right? Parosh Pachas Moav, Elam Zatu Bani. These are interesting, by the way. Some of these names you'll see in, they're the people who brought the wood. Right, and we have their names in the Mishnayos. Buni Asgar Beivoy, right? By the way, you know, Rav Bibi, in the Gemara, Rav Bibi, Rabbi, etc., it's Beivoy. It's brought down in the Jastro Dictionary as Beivoy, but I dare you to say that in a real yeshiva, they'll probably kill you. Adonia Vigvai Odin, Otir Chizki Azur, Hodia Choshum Beitzoy. Beivoy? Bibi. It's Bez Yod, Bez Yod.
Right, but that was BV.
Yeah,
that Bez makes sense because when you have a Yod before a Bez.
I remember the Jastro saying it's Beivoy, like Bivoy or something like that. Choref Anasois Nevoy. Nevoy, he rhymed. That's an interesting name. Magbiosh. Mishulam Chazir. Sounds like a. Yeah. Meshe Zavel. Tzaduk Yadua. Platio Chanan Anai Anoya. Hoshea Chanania Chashuv, Halochish Pilcha Shevek, Ruchum Chashavnia, Chashavnam Aseya, Vachia Chananan, Malucharim Ba'ano, Ushara Am, Hakoana Levim, Ashuara, Meshorim, and Sinivachol, and Nivdom Yama Arts, and all the people were separate from the Amirats of Torah Zalakim, who decided they were going to learn the Torah of Zalakim. Neshayim, Benayim, Uvinosayim, Kol Yedem, Mevin, anybody who knew any knowledge, understanding, etc. Machzikim, Alachayim, Adiram, hold on, Machzikim, they attached themselves, Alachayim, Adiram, under their stronger brothers, who Voyim Ba'olo Beshua, and they came in this oath and the Shua. In the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Nitnevi Moshe Eved Elokim, that was given over Moshe Elokim, B'lishmor V'lasu Kol Mitzvot Hashem Elokeinu, Adonenu Mishpatov V'chukav, to keep and to do, Lishmor is to do the Lavin, Lasu is to do the Assays, all the Mitzvot Hashem, our Master, Mishpatov V'chukav, as well as the Mishpatim, and the Chukim themselves, each one of them over here, V'asher Lo Nitim B'noseinu, L'Ami Aretz, that we will not give our daughters over to the Ami Aretz, V'as B'noseinu L'Nikach L'Venenu, we will not take out their daughters for our sons, right? And it says, right? And the people of the land who bring over merchant stuff to buy, v'chol shevron, all the food, b'yom ha-shabbos, limkor, they bring it on the day of Shabbos to sell, lo nikach mehem ba-shabbos. We will not buy it from them on Shabbos, of Yom Kodesh, and on such a holy day. We will forego that seventh year and the collection of every hand over here. Now, obviously, look at these things over here. We're talking about, you know, intermarriage, right, as well as breaking Shabbos and Shemitah, three obviously huge laws, right, that would apply to the time. Now, I guess you could say, right, that although people, it's possible that they weren't really intermarried, that they were megayer the woman, but they weren't really megayer them, or megayer the men, but not really being megayer. The people said that they would keep mitzvos and they weren't really doing it properly, right? It's possible that's that. But now we are completely ostering anybody who is not going to be completely converted and all part of it altogether, right? So maybe this is also explaining the laws of the Torah. Maybe they were confused because the Torah seems to say that only the seven nations, lo tischat in bum, and maybe Ezra is explaining that, or Nehemiah is telling them now, no, it's everybody, any other non-Jew who does not convert cannot be married to, right? And they have to stay away from everything whatsoever. It also seems pretty clear that the prohibition of doing business on Shabbos is under a certain iser. That it could be, listen, say this in a Mora Heter type of way, where they were like, we're not doing business on Shabbos, we're taking things and then making up how much we owe them after Shabbos, and we're sort of like getting around. It could be they were doing stuff straight out on Shabbos also, because they clearly had some issues, and it looked like they were missing out on quite a few laws.
It's kind of like, I mean, they're saying, we'll keep the Torah, but the reason they explicitly said Shemitah, because Shemitah is part of the reason why the first faith nation was destroyed, right?
Uh-huh.
Shabbos, it's like a social contract, meaning everybody's got to get on board with this, and this is like a big deal that the whole country, or everybody's going to shut down
in,
on one day
in
a week.
In Gemara Shabbos, not keeping Shabbos causes galus, chayos, rose, and a lot of other things, so it could be also because of that.
Right, but there's a lot of other bad errors in the Torah. Why did they only pick this one?
I know, that one is mentioned. There's seven sins that are mentioned in Shabbos, daf lamed lamed aleph, in which they cause tremendous yisurin. One of them is Shemitah, one of them is Shabbos.
Right, but it seems like this is something that they needed to work on, and something that also, there's like a social construct. One guy's doing business on Shabbos, then, you know, everybody else gets...
I hear what you're saying. I just think it's very specific that it's getting into the business part, as opposed to malachos and like mukta, right? It is mentioning something which, in theory, could be something mutter, like what's the big deal? Like, I know people that have gone to restaurants on Shabbos, right, in Eretz Yisrael, and had like sort of like a deal where they'll eat something and then they'll get charged after the restaurant itself. You're right. You're 100% right. But have gone to do that. No, unfortunately, it's on Shabbos. They have it, and they just sort of like tick it off, and they do it later on.
Is there a kosher restaurant that has like a Shabbos option? There's a New York does that too.
Yeah, in New York. In New York as well. I don't know. I can't tell you.
You pay before Shabbos.
You pay before? Okay, maybe that's it. They do that in restaurants also in hotels, right, where you can just bring people in and they tick it off and they just do whatever it is, right? It's how it is. I don't know. Maybe he's referring to stuff like that. It also could be referring to what Shemitah was supposed to be for these people. I don't know how Shemitah applied, whether it was D'oraisa or D'rabbanan at this time. I guess it's a kasha on whether or not everybody came back or not, right, and stuff like that.
If only 50,000 people or not even 50,000 people were back.
But it could be from all 12 Shvatim. Oh, but you're saying not Rove of Klal Yisrael. You might be right. I don't remember if you need Rove of Klal Yisrael and the 12 Shvatim or just the 12 Shvatim. I don't remember. You might need 12 Shvatim and that might be enough. Might even be enough for Yovel. I don't remember. I'd have to check out. It's in Gittin, in Daparon, Lamed Zion. Yeah, at least one, right, to have somebody.
Everybody agrees that today Shemitah is Darabana.
Because we don't know who the 12 Shvatim are.
Right, but it's possible that it's supposed to suffering Daraisa, Lachoma.
No, without, yeah, it's like a suffix on a suffix, sort of.
It's not a suffix on a suffix, it's a suffix.
Because you don't know if they're there, and even if they're there, that might not be enough to make it a deal, right? So, I don't know if that's enough. It's not a fake sfeika.
If they don't already have the role of Jews living in Israel, then it's close to it.
Yeah, I do agree. Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, it's possible. I don't even know if you need rogue Jews altogether living in that area. Yeah, it's a possibility. I don't know. You might need biblical Israel also. Let's go back for a second because, Benjamin, you did mention a really, really good call. You said, well, where was Ezra over here, right?
Still on vacation.
So first of all, vacation would be a little bit hard. Remember, he just read from the Torah itself. First of all, every document that they made back in the day obviously was made in duplicate. And the reason why they made it in duplicate was pretty obvious, right? Number one was for the public, for everybody to see and to know what's going on. And the other one was supposed to be sealed and stored so that everybody would be, you know, to have it differently over here. So that's what it means over here. It says, v'chosim v'alachosum. So there was one that was stored, rolled in one way so that they would be able to use it whatsoever, you know, for everybody. And there were other things in which they have a signature, so to speak. Now, there's a medrash that says that this document was unsigned, spread out in the base of Mikdash, okay, left overnight, and in the overnight, they found it signed in the morning with a Kadosh Baruch Hu's shame of MS. That's what the Medrash says. Ki'ilu, so to speak, as if something happened that night, and it was supposed to be, it was chasum, sealed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, that Hashem sent his own signature that was going to be there. Regardless, right, in the following, those psukim that we mentioned, there were 84 people that were mentioned over there. Many of them, says Rav Schwab, were members of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, meaning those 70 men who put together a lot of the stuff that we had. And then we get to Binyamin's question, where is Ezra? There's an absence of Ezra. He is clearly not there. So the obvious answer is that he, again, secluded himself, that he took himself away. He was asked to be there to speak. He spoke. He set out the Torah itself, and that's that.
Right.
And then he didn't do it.
He's the leader. The leader said, you know, Moshe decided to go on vacation for
Nehemiah
a couple of days.
Nehemiah is the leader. Ezra had already retired from the leader life, and we saw that. They called him back to come into the base of Mikdash to be able to do whatever he was doing. But he wasn't there. No. The Kohen Gadol was definitely Yoshua ben Yotzadok. Ezra Sofer is never known as a Kohen Gadol throughout the entire Sefer. So he's never known. He's a Kohen. But he never was the Kohen Gadol. Yoshua ben Yotzadok and his kid and whatever would have been there. And there were other people that are mentioned, but we never see him doing it. It could very well be also, right, that Ezra wouldn't have signed the documents. Why? Because he was the one, so to speak, that Ezra didn't sign this document. It was a promise by the people to Ezra, who represented the Torah. He was, so to speak, the obligee, is that what it's called over there?
Obligor.
So he calls it like a promissory note, which is only signed by the obligor, not by the obligee. So it wouldn't be that way. So to speak, that Ezra is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they wanted, and therefore Ezra wouldn't have signed it. But either way, I go with the first one a little bit easier. We saw that Ezra disappeared for years, so it's very likely that he disappeared again. This is just not his role anymore.
It's a weird, strange disappearance, or it's conjectured.
I'm not even so worried about it. Remember, we said before, it's possible he was living a hermit life, like a total life of his bodidus, so he wasn't with the people. So when the people are sitting there and Nehemiah is putting them together, right, although he could have been there, right, he chose a life of complete secrecy and privacy.
A life of seclusion does not reflect who he is, like in his book, where he's teaching Torah and gathering all the Jews. And his job is to teach.
When he was younger, it could be that he got old enough that he was no longer able to do so, and then he stopped.
You see rabbis who are 100 years old, and there's limited schedule, but you know they're still like seeing people and.
In a way, I don't know if the bracha thing ever existed back then.
I'm talking about the bracha thing.
But don't you think, like most of the gedolim nowadays, if not for the bracha thing, would disappear?
For sure.
Wouldn't see them, like a Reb Chaim Kanievsky,
Rav
Aaron Lipschneim,
when it comes to like Shilas and stuff.
I think Reb Chaim Kanievsky is not. I don't want to say that like I'm saying silly things, but like Reb Chaim Kanievsky is not the Shilas type. Like they would. There are people that are known for their shilas and they have it.
Rav Yashiv did it till he's
yes. Rav Yashiv would be a difference. Oh, so maybe Ezra Sofer wasn't that. Maybe he wasn't that type. Maybe he wanted to be secluded.
But that is his type. He was the teacher of Torah. The Jews forgot the Torah by and large. He's the one who reinstated it.
The Mesorah, as we called it.
Right.
The Mesorah that gave
it. It makes sense that he would have to be there till the
but
end.
But if he made
like
Talmidim, you're 100% right. But what if he made Talmidim and the Talmidim took over that job?
I mean,
we don't know. We have no idea. It's all conjecture. Everything is conjecture. But I still go with that because we did see that he disappeared. Things went horribly during that time. And that's why Nehemiah came back, because there was no leader there. We saw they were leaderless. So clearly Ezra was not involved. What happened to him and how he went and whatever it was, did he even go back to Bavel? We don't know. We have absolutely no idea. So it's all conjecture, unfortunately. Then it says, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'amanu Aleinu Mitzos Olseis Aleinu Shlush Zeshakol. They took on other mitzos over here. So aside from Shemitah and Shabbos, right, and what else do we have over here, and obviously not intermarrying, etc., took another mitzvah. To give a third of a shekel v'ashana every year, Lavodos Beis Elokeinu, to give every single year a third of a shekel to give to a certain amount, I guess, Avoda's Beis Elokeinu for the Avoda of the Beis Elokeinu itself. Now, there probably was a machatzitz shekel that he already gave, right? Because you were obligated by that by Torah law. That's the Trumas Hashkolim that they had that we talk about in Parshas Kisisa and in Shkolim, in the Mistaf
to
Shkolim.
Yeah, but were they doing it in Golis?
I would assume not. I would assume they did it. Or they had like a zecher to it like we have today, like we give on Erev Purim, you know, right before Purim. I would assume that. Here, though, they were in the Beis Hamikdash, so they probably had to give the Maksa shekel again. And in addition to that, they brought another a third of the shekel. Not much, but something they had a chiv to give every time. The lechem amarechas, that was used for the bread, obviously, for the shulchan, the lechem upon him. Minchas etamid, as well as the korban minchas as well. Olas etamid, for the korban olas, hashabbosos hachadoshim, that were brought on Shabbos, that were brought in Rosh Chodesh, lamoadim elakadshim, right?
For the
Chol Moed, etc. Maksa shekel was supposed to be brought for any olas to fill the mizbeach, that when it was open and empty, as if nothing was there, then it would do that.
But I thought the Maksa was for the Korban Tamid, and then like extra funds from the previous year was used for that. Kate's mizbeach.
I'd have to check again.
That's where the money come from, the Korban Tamid. I thought that was the Maksa shekel.
I thought it was other donations. I didn't know it was from the Maksa shekel. It's possible. I just don't remember. Right? Yeah, but definitely the Kate's mizbeach was done with the Maksa shekel. And then it says, Lasa Tamid, Shabbos, Lachadoshim, Lachadim, Lachadshim, right? For any other Kadoshim, holy offerings, any Lachatos, Lachapro, Yisol, Timi, Lachapro, Vachom, Lachas, Beis, Alakenu. And again, for all the work of the house of the God. Now, again, there wasn't that many people. A third of a shekel from 50,000 people, maybe there was a little bit more because it was years since all those people came. So 70, 80,000, whatever it was, even 100,000 people, let's say there was 100,000 people altogether, is really not a lot, right? But it's possible that that was enough and that's all they needed. It says, V'agorol zipalnu al korban ha'etzim, then they made lots for the korban ha'etzim, bringing close. Now notice, by the way, if you look at the word, it is not korban, it's korban ha'etzim, the bringing close of the wood, the offerings of the wood. It is not a korban, so to speak, right? Rather, it's a korban. Hakohanim Leviim, for the Kohanim Leviim, on the havi lebeis Elohim lebeis Avosenu, to give to our, you know, to the house, to the beis Avosenu. Leitim is one of at certain times, shana b'shana every single year, levaro lemizbeach, in order to burn the mizbeach, Hashem Elokeinu, kakosuv b'Torah, like it writes in the Torah itself. Now, that is written about in Tainus. It mentions the nine families who each one of them had a certain thing that they took on when they brought it in. Quite a few of them were toward the end of the summer, right? And when they brought it in over there. Tesvav of, Tuba of, was one of the reasons why they celebrated that as a holiday, is because it was the last time that they could bring in the wood without it getting wormy and moldy, etc. That's what they ended up bringing in. Olhavi is Bikuri Ad Masenu. Then they brought in the Bikurim, Ubikuri Kol Pri Kol Eitz Shana. They brought Bikurim of all the different types of fruits, right, of all the trees every year, Leveis Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. Now it's interesting because Bikurim is officially only the Shiva Minim, and it's only the Shiva Minim that were in Eretz Yisrael. Here it seems that they took upon themselves to do Bikurim from all different types of fruits, from all over the place, even possibly from outside of Eretz Yisrael. They would bring Bikurim all over.
What do you do? From all over the place, not just Eretz Yisrael. It would assume that Bikurim is from Eretz
Yisrael. Kol Pri. Right, Bikuri Kol Pri.
Could also be.
You're right, but it does definitely say, no Raya, right? But it could be that it's referring to everything out there. And then he goes on, that's Bechoros.
Baneinu Vamteinu. Bikuri Kol Pri Ha'ilan Hemi Divrei Chachami, meaning the Shevas Aminim.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the Shevas Aminim is going to be different, right? That's Bechoros Baneinu Vamteinu. And then the firstborn of our sons, as well as our animals, Kakos Batorah, as it says in the Torah, that's Bechore Bikarenu Vitzoneinu, and the firstborn of our cattle and our sheep, Lahavi Vesalakinu, that we bring to the base of Mitchers, Lakwanim, and Meshors, and Vesalakinu, we're going to bring toward the Beis HaMikdash, right, to the Kohanim that serve in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, the Bikurim was actually eaten by the people themselves, but the Bechors, right, that was eaten by the Kohanim, was used as Korbanos, etc., right, even the Petar Chamors, right, the exchange of the donkeys themselves, those go over to the Kohanim themselves. As Reishis Arizo Senu, as well as the first of our dough, Truma Senu, our Truma, Prikol Eitz Tiro Shvi Yitor, the fruit of all the wood, of all the wine and the oil, Navi LaKohanim Alishkos Beis HaLchinu, we brought it over to the Kohanim, right, that goes to the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. We brought the tithe of our ground to the Levium, right? Obviously, it's Meiser Rishon. The Hema Levium Ma'asim B'chol Erei Avodosenu. They're the Levium, right? That's going to be throughout all of the work that were right around there. It's interesting, by the way, if you remember, we set up above, because the Levium didn't come to the Beis HaMikdash, we said, right, that the Levium were sort of taken away from their Meiser Rishon and was given over to the Kohanim. The Levium refused to come, so Ezra knast them. So it seems that either this was switched, or as you see in Lamentes, via Kohen ben Aaronim Levium, the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, will be with the Levium, Ba'asor Levium, when the Meiser was taken off. Levium Yalu was Masor Amaiser Levisal Kenu, and then the Levium bring the tithe of the tithe, that's called Trumas Meiser, the one tenth of the one tenth, to the base of Mitzvah, Shalal Lashachis, the base of Otzer, to the chambers, to the base of Otzer, for all the Kohanim to be able to get everything they're supposed to get over here. Okay, so there is some type of a privilege that the Kohanim have on the Levium, over the Levium when it comes to Meiser. It's hinted to over here, but it is not spoken out straight out. Kiel Shachis, Yuvibene Sobene Levi as Truma Sadagan. They brought over all the Truma of their grain to these chambers. Hatirish Vayitzor of the wine and the oil. Visham Klayam Mikdash, they had the Klayam Mikdash over there as well. Vakonam Meshorsim, as well as the Quantum Serving. Vashuan Meshorim, as well as the gatekeepers and the singers, which were Levium. Below Nazov Es Beis Elokeinu. They will not forsake the Beis Hamikdash. This is going to be the last thing over here that they said we're not going to forget about these things whatsoever. These were all the mitzvos that they took upon themselves that they would keep. Now, all of these are mitzvos from the Torah, maybe a little bit extra, the business on Shabbos, but many of these things were straight out deoraisas that they were told to keep. Again, it could be you're adding on things, like adding on bikurim of all fruits and stuff like that, but it's an amazing idea that they brought together. Were you going to say, Benjamin?
I don't know, like some of the, I was wondering if it's possible that this happened, that whole amana that they signed was after Ezra died, but he comes up after.
No, we see Ezra. Yeah, he's going to come back. By Yeshu, sorry, Am Yerushalayim, all the leaders of the nation lived in Yerushalayim, Mashar, Ami, Pilu, Gorolois, and then the rest of the people, they made lotteries, Lahavi, Echon, Mina, Asar, Lasheves, Yerushalayim, Yerakadish. They would decide 1 out of 10 people to live in Yerushalayim, Yerakadish. Tesha, Yadus, Ba'arim, the 9 other parts lived in the other cities. Now, I'm not positive which way is which. It seems likely that the people did not want to live in Yerushalayim. They were used to the country life. They liked living out in the fields, everything. Yerushalayim is a very, very busy place. It's going to be really annoying over the Chagim themselves to be able to fit everybody, you know, when they all come in together for the, you know, the Re'iyah, to bring their Korban Re'iyah and to see the Beis HaMikdash, to have everybody in their certain places and whatever it was. So it's possible that all the people were like, we'd rather live out in the country. It could be the other way around. It could be that everybody wanted to live in Yerushalayim and nobody wanted to live in the country. So either way, there wasn't enough room. So they made lotteries, and they said 1/10 is going to live in Yerushalayim, and those people were chosen, so to speak, by God, as we see the lotteries are used quite all over the place in order to see what's going to be. Those were the people, right, who were going to be able to live in Yerushalayim itself. The people blessed all the men who had donated themselves, volunteered to live in Yerushalayim. And as we said, it's likely that that means that people didn't want to live there. In Ksuvah, Staf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, it mentions, says, Yeshivas Krachim Kach. It's difficult to be able to live inside cities, you know, closed up cities without all the things out there, right?
Yeah,
so therefore they got brothels from it.
The opposite.
I would assume.
Go nuts living in Wisconsin.
No, Wisconsin. Nobody wants to live in Wisconsin, but, you know, Missouri.
The commercials, though, seem to make it seem like you would want to.
Only for a day. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, whenever you say that, that should be fine. Right. Okay, and that's that. Now we're going to say over here, the Elo Rashi Amedina Shal Yashu Yerushalayim. These are the heads of the country who lived in Yerushalayim. Ba'ar Yehuda and the cities of Yehuda. Yashu Ishbach Uzasa. Each person lived in their own land. Ba'ar Reim and their cities. Yisrael Kohanim Levim. Yisraelim Kohanim Levim. Ba'anisinim as well as Anisinim. There were still there these people that were not Jewish yet served as workers. Obenei Avdei Shlomo as well as the children of the servants of Shlomo who never really were fully Megayer. Yerushalayim Yashu Bnei Yehuda Bnei Binyamin. Bnei Yehuda. Here's the people of Yehuda. Asai Ben Uziah Ben Zachariah Ben Amariah Ben Shvatiah Ben Mahalalel Bnei Paretz. Now that's going all the way back. That's a genealogy that goes all the way back to Paretz, the son of Yehuda. That's pretty amazing altogether.
It says, Mi B'nei Paretz, meaning they're from the descendants of Paretz.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that brings you all the way back, though. That's pretty amazing. Ma'aseya ben Baruch, ben Kol Choyze, ben Chazoy, ben Adoy, ben Yoyoriv, ben Tzachai, ben Ashiloni, right? Whoever that's referring to over here, Shiloni. Kol B'nei Paretz, Hayoshim Yerushalayim, Arba Me'el Shishim Ushmona, Anshei Chayo. It's possible. I would more think that it's referring to Shiloh, the name that was given to Yehuda. Right, in his bracha from Yaakov Avinu, but it is possible.
Means the person who comes from.
Yeah,
Shiloh.
It's very well. It could be from that city.
But it says Ben Kol Choze. That doesn't seem like a name. It seems like it's
Kol Choze. I think is a name. No, Cizol.
Right, but it seems like that was how they referred to a certain Navi.
I think it was a name.
Is it Baruch Ben Neria? His father was a Navi, so he was Kol Choze. Maybe that's how they referred to
him. Yeah, it'd be hard. I think it is Kol Choze. But either way, it's Arba Meos Shishim Ushmon Anshechayo, 468 Anshechayo. Elo Ben Binyamin, these are the children of Binyamin. Salu Ben Meshulam Ben Yoed Ben Pedaya Ben Koloya Ben Maaseya Ben Isiel Ben Yeshaya. I mean, this goes all the way back over here. Right, and all the people that were around there. So either way, Va'achrov, Gabai Saloi, Shamios Esrim Ushmona, Gabai Saloi, and 928 other men. Yoel ben Zichri, Pakita Lam, he was in charge of them. Yehuda ben Asnua, Alair Mishnah, he was the second in charge of the city. And Quanam Yedaya ben Yoyarv Yachin, Sroya ben Chokio ben Meshulam ben Tzaruk ben Marayos ben Achituv, Negid Beis Elohim. He was a prince, or the director of what was going on at the Beis HaMikdash. Va'acheyem, Osi HaMalach, and the brothers, the people that did the work, Labayas, for the Beis HaMikdash, Shmona Meos Esrim Ushnaim, 822. Va'adai ben Yerochim ben Palalio, Ben Amzi, Ben Zechariah, Ben Pashkor, Ben Malkiah, Ben Echov, right? And all of his brothers over here, Rashim L'Avos, they were heads of the families, Masayim Arvayim Mishnayim, 242, right? Amash Sai, good name, right? Amash Sai, Ben Azarel, Ben Achzai, Ben Mishilemos, Ben Imer, V'Acheim, Gibori Chayil, their brothers were strong men, Me'azum Mashmona, there were 128 of them altogether, Apakit Aleim, Zavdiel Ben Agedolim. So Zavdiel, the son of great men, or Hagedolim was the name, he was in charge of the Levium. From the Levium, there was Shmaya Ben Chashub Ben Azrikim, Ben Chashab Ben Buni, Shabsai, that's a name that we use nowadays, Yozavet Al Malach, they were in charge of the work, Hachitzon Lebez Lohim, on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Mirashi Al Levium, he was one of the heads of the Levium themselves, he was the reference over here, Matanya Ben Micha Ben Zavdi Ben Asaf, Rosh HaTechila, Yehodeh, I don't know how you say that, Yehodeh Latfila, the praises of the prayers, Uvakbukya, Mishnah Me'achav, right, Ba'avdav and Shemua, Ben Galal, Ben Yedusun, Kol Avim Be'er HaKadosh, Masayim Shemon V'Arba, there were 284, Vashu'arim, Akuv, Talmon, V'acheim, Hashom, Vashu'arim, Me'ah, Shiv, Mishnayim, 172, we see a bunch of Levim did come eventually, Shar Yisrael, Kwan, Levim, Bechol, Yehuda, Ish, Benachlo, so each person lived in their right places, Manasim, Yoshim, Ba'oifel, the Nesinim lived in an area called Ophel, anybody know where that is?
Yes, the southern wall, like the south. West wall.
It's still there?
It's called the
Ophel. I knew that name from somewhere. Okay, so that's probably where they lived. The Nesinim lived right around there. Bitzikha v'gishbal and Nesinim, right? They were in charge of the Nesinim themselves. V'kira levim b'Yerushalayim, Uzi ben Bani ben Chashavya ben Matani ben Micha, b'bnei Asaf Meshorim. He was from the children of Asaf, of the singers. Asaf, obviously going all the way back. L'neged melechas beis elokim, right? When they did the work of God. Kimitzal melech aleim, they had the king, the command of the king upon them. B'amana al Meshorim, v'ayom b'yomo. They did everything they had to do every day. He was in charge of everything that the treasury of what they needed for the people. And by the chatzirim in their field from Bnei Yehuda, Yoshev Kiryat Arba Ubenosad, they lived in Kiryat Arba. Obviously, we all know what Kiryat Arba is. That's right next to Hebron, right? And all of the cities surrounding it. Bedivon Ubenosad, Biyakab Tzael, Vachatzirel, Ubiyeshuav, Ubaladu, Vibes Polit, Vachatzir Shuav, Bibeer Sheva Ubenosad, Baruch Hashem, we know where Be'er Sheva is. Ubet Tziklug. Tziklug was the city that David Melech ran to when he was running away from Shaul Melech. He was given that by the Plishim, Mechonim b'Mrosel, Be'in Rimon u'Betzora u'Biyarmus, Zanoach Adulim v'Chatzreim, Lochish u'Stosel, Azeko u'Vnosel, V'Yachinu, V'Yachinu mi'Be'er Sheva ad Gehinom. They lived all the way from Be'er Sheva all the way to the Valley of Hinnom, which obviously is the area where,
huge area.
Yeah, massive area, because Be'er Sheva is all the way down south, and Ben Hinnom is that area Jerusalem. Right by Jerusalem, right? 100%, that's where they ended up going over here, the Valley of Hinnom. I don't think they lived in the entire area. I just think they had cities, in the area right around there. All
there
these people, all Yehuda, whatever it is.
Gehinom.
Yeah, it's possible. He said, Rav Schwab says it refers to the city of Yerushalayim, refers to that thing itself. There's a Bnei Binyamin Migova. So the people of Binyamin were up north. They were up north a little bit, which was where the biblical land of Binyamin was, right? Migova, Michmash, Va'aya, Beis El, Benoseha. Yeah, 100% they were, but these are the people that lived right above it over here. Anasos, Nov, Ananya, Chotzor, Roma, Gitoyim, Choditzvoy, Nivalot, Lod, Va'ono, Geach, Haroshim, Minalavim, Machlokos, Yehuda, Binyamin. And from Levim, they were divided from Yehuda all the way to Binyamin. Itself. Okay, he says an interesting name over here.
There's a regional council of the region of Binyamina and a lot of these places.
Yeah, they still have these names. Yeah, the names you're going to notice. Michmash, that still exists. We know that the name Gehenim comes from this line of Gei Ben Hinnom. And the reason why, we've said this before, but Gei Ben Hinnom was the area, the valley where the priests used to do the Molech, the Molech, the depravity that was known as Molech. It was a type of Baal as well, right? It was the closest you could get to the Beis HaMikdash, where you still had like this tumah and this destruction that was right around there. What they did was, there were two different types, right? Either they had the fires on both sides and they had a little path and they had to send the kid through, right? They would hand the child over to the priest, the firstborn child to the priest, and the priest would pass him through, and if he went through, then he lived and he was all good, and if not, then he would die. Some people say that the Gei Ben Hinnom, the idol was this huge statue with seven arms, and in each one you put a different thing. On the top arms you put in a baby, and as the baby went inside, it was something that they would burn the fire inside, and the arms would get so burning, they would play on the drums, so it would drown out the screams of the baby until they had ended up dying, etc. Those altars were called tofes. They were the drum altars that they had over there, and they ended up destroying people from that. Gehenna, for that reason, became known as the most destructive, depraved place ever, and that's why we have the word Gehenna for us to refer to, you know, what happens to a person after death. There is no place in Tanakh that mentions Gehenna as the place of the afterlife. There's no such thing. It's just that Gehenna and Enom was the worst of the worst, so they called it Gehenna for after death.
It says it with, it doesn't say by Menashe, that's where they, it was the city that that's where
we
it
do
was.
Have Gehenna and Enom about six times in Tanakh.
No, but
a bunch of them
that
in Yeshua.
Bad things happened there. Where in Tanakh does it say that bad stuff happened?
Molech?
There?
I forget. Shmuel or Melachim. We have Shmuel or Melachim. Menashe the king?
Yeah.
It's possible. It's possible. It's definitely Melachim. But they had the colt that was right over there. Okay. Now, that's that when it comes into it. Now we're going to see that we're going to have the main, the subgroups, the categories of who is going to be in charge Kohanim-wise. We're going to try to finish this off in Yud Beis. I don't know if we'll be able to do much more than that. And again, most of these are names, so it's not the greatest, but Ela Kohanim Levim Asherim Aluim Zerubbabel Mishben Shaltiel. These are the Kohanim Levim that went up with Zerubbabel. Remember, Zerubbabel was the first one to go up before Ezra, before Nehemiah. Possibly Zerubbabel was Nehemiah. We said that, but he went up with them. Yeshua, Sraya, Yirmiah, Ezra. So we have the Yeshua, Sraya, Yirmiah, and Ezra over here. Those
him
are the
again.
People there. It's possibly not Ezra Sofer. Amaria Malu Chatush Shchani Ruchum Meremos Ido Ginsoi Avia Miyamin Madia Bilga Shmaya Yoyariv Ayedai. Yediah Salwa Mok Chilkia Yediah Elor Shakwan Vachayim Beme Yeshua Velavim Yeshua Binui Kadmiel Shrevia Yehuda Matanya Ala Yudos, right? What is Yudos over here? Oh, the Thanksgiving praises. Al Huyados.
Yeah.
Look at that word. Hu Vechav, him and his brothers. Bakbukia, I'm sure he had a bunch of bottles. Veuni Achayim, that's not a great name. But Negdon Lemishmaros, they were in charge of the Mishmaros over there. Right, the Yeshua, Holiz Yoyakim, he gave her to Yoyakim, Yoyakim, Holiz Es El Yashav, El Yashav Es Yoyada, Yoyada Holiz Yonis, and Yonis and Holiz Es Yadua. These were all Kohanim Gidolim. It seems pretty clear that these refer to all the different Kohanim Gidolim that were living during that time. Yoyada is the last of the Kohanim Gidolim mentioned in Tanakh, and his son, Yadua's son, was Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, who's known as that.
Shimon says Holid Yonatan.
I have it. According to the Masorah, it is from, he is Mishyare Knesset HaGedola, right? It's made over there. Shimon HaTzadik is one who welcomed Alexander the Great to, you know, when he came into right over there. And that leads us to a really big problem because the numbers are a little bit off in the Persian Empire, how long the Persian Empire would have lasted for versus when the Greeks came into play and Alexander the Great. The way it seems is that Darius II was the last of the kings before we got to Alexander the Great. But clearly through the history of the Persians and the Greeks, it doesn't work that way. And what happens, we spoke about Rav Schwab when we first started the Sefer. Rav Schwab says he has his ideas. He's wondering about the 160, 170 odd years that are missing. He doesn't have a great answer. In his collected writings, he suggests a bunch of answers. All of them he rejects for various reasons. And at the end of the day, he says, I'm going to go with the Maimari Chazal that say that this is what it was. And somehow, however, Mashiach wants to answer it up, or maybe we're not supposed to answer it up. He
Take
wonders,
it.
Right? But that's the famous missing years that we talk about over here.
I mean, well,
yeah, it's a very difficult way. No, they're not. He really left it with, you know, something that's not
here
going to be
in
out
the
there.
Pasuk, holy...
I think his first answer I liked. I forgot what it was, but the first
they
answer I liked.
Years?
Yeah,
hide years.
On purpose.
How do I come to you and say, by the way,
They didn't mention it.
No,
no, they didn't mention
didn't
it.
Exist.
No. They didn't go by years. They went by the 12th year of the king, the 13th year of the king, and they
know,
went by the next
but, like,
king. There was no 57,
of,
8, 78.
No, I understand, but at what year did it, like...
Tell me to come anew. That was his answer, wasn't it? Tell me to come anew. You're right. I don't like it, and he doesn't like it. He himself says
right.
It's not great. I remember that being the best thereof. Right, but again, it's very, very hard when we're dealing with something like that. But these were the Kohanim Gedolim at the time, right, going through there. What were you going to say, Dave?
Holy, they refer to literally birth, like...
Yeah, it seems like that. This seems to be actual
I thought
people.
There wasn't a succession of Kohanim Gedolim. Like, you weren't born into the Kohanim Gedolim.
Halachically speaking, if your son was the great, you know, was able to fit your position, he is the first person to take over. This is from the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim at the very, very end of the Sefer of the Yad HaZaka in Perek Aleph toward the end. If your son is able to take over, he takes over. Right? So, yes, they would have, and since these people were very great people, that would have happened. At some point that stopped, likely after Shimon HaTzadik, right? That's when it stopped over there. Yeah.
When you said Shimon was Yadua's son?
Yoyada, I think, right?
But you said
Yadua. Yeah. Yonason gave birth to Yadua, and then Yadua would have been Shimon HaTzadik.
It could be that he was
that's
an ancestor, not necessarily his
And that's what Rav Schwab is saying. There's a there's some numbers missing here, right? And that might be why, but who knows when it comes to stuff like that, right? There's a lot of things when it goes through. He says, I'm just going to quote what he says over here because it's an amazing idea. We'd rather concede that there is a time gap here that remains unexplained. The Gemara tells us there once existed a Sefer Yochsin, a book of genealogy, which was a Mishnaic compendium of elucidations by Tanayim on Sefer Divrei Hayamim. This work contained a treasure trove of genealogical details that are missing in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, which, in the Gemara's language, was so large it would require 400 camels to carry. Right? So meaning it was just long and long and long. Yeah, 300 and 400 is always an exaggeration. Right? But that idea, we know that Ezra was the author of the Sefer here and of Divrei Hayamim. Presumably, the same rules of what we committed to writing in Divrei Hayamim and Ezra were there. And that idea, okay, however, the book has become lost or forgotten, and the Gemara bemoans its loss by saying, Miyom shenigna sefer yuchsin tashash koichon shel chacham v'kol me'or einayim. They have been weakened, and it's possible. It's possible that compendium, whatever was in the Sefer Yuchsin, would answer up all of our problems here. We'd be able to answer up everything we need over here, but we have no idea. We have absolutely no idea.
It was just like family trees.
Yeah, family trees would go all the way through, which makes a ton of sense that they would have such a thing, because that was such an important thing in Klal Yisrael. So you'd think that that was something that was pretty obvious over here. Okay, let's finish off this right over here.
That's interesting. Nowadays, we don't really have Sefer Yochsin. I mean,
no.
You kind of like, I know you, you're.
You have
Jewish,
genealogy,
like,
et cetera.
No,
right.
I know who my grandparents are, but like.
Well, the biggest thing is by Kohanim. Mostly by Kohanim, we go by Chazaka. The halacha is we go by Chazaka. The Chafetz Chaim speaks about it in the Mishnah Berurah quite a bit. How do we trust somebody to be do Berachas Kohanim? It's a lav. An assay. He's over on an assay by
but
going to Dukar Haskalin.
So he says he's made on himself. He's a Kohen.
Yes, but yes. How does he know the Kohen himself? He's not Nema. He doesn't.
I mean, how do we?
Yeah,
know?
So we go with Chazaka. Exactly. So meaning the Chazaka that we
how
have.
Do your father is your father. Like
Rove.
The same Gemara.
That's Rove.
Rove, right?
That's Rove.
No, but is that always Rove?
Yeah, Rove Bilos Holchan Acharayim. Acharav, I'm sorry. Yeah, so that's Rove. We have Chazak over here. The difference between Chazak and Rove, okay, Shev Shmait, so we can learn the Ketzos' safer and try to go through it. But at least to go through over here, right, we have to have something like this. But again, and I'm going to quote what we said in the very beginning of the Sefer and Seder here as well.
But how do you know it's a Rove? That Rove is being relied on because of a Chazakah, in a sense.
No.
I mean, it's an Rove assumption. Bilos. That's an assumption. Nobody knows. That's an assumption.
No, I don't know if that's an assumption.
Why is it an assumption?
I mean, by definition, a
Rove.
No,
I understand, but there's no aiding seeing how
no,
many people who she's with and who she's
yeah,
not
yeah,
with.
But that's normal. That's not.
What makes
I don't
something
think
normal?
That's a chazaka.
But what makes something normal?
No, the definition of a chazaka is something that we can assume because we can't figure it out. This can be figured out.
But it can't because
it can.
Aiding.
You could check the woman. Meaning, somebody can watch the woman at all times. You can figure that out.
Yeah,
it is. It is something. No, I do think it's a Rove. I think that's a difference. But he says, I'm going to quote it again. It's because of these knowing doubts that I've decided to put a big question mark after the title of the article, Jewish Chronology. Let someone with greater knowledge come and pick up the threads where I left off. Our traditional, universally accepted Jewish way of counting the years, L'Briyas Olam, is sacred territory upon which only fools do not fear to tread. This may be a disappointment to some. However, I must muster the courage to belong to those who would rather be honest with themselves than be right, quote unquote. I'd rather leave a good question open than risk giving a wrong answer. I thereby follow the teachings of Rabbi Shimon. K'shem shivat yiskar la drisha, kaka gavul skar la prisha. He means, who was it? Nechemiah Amsuni or Shimon Amsuni, who said that line.
Who's writing this?
This is Rav Schwab. Oh. This is Rav Schwab. The historical material that I have assembled may still somehow be useful, even for those who doubt that there can ever be a Jewish chronology that would satisfy the non-believer in the wisdom of their sages. So I fall back into the ranks of Shlomi Amuni Yisrael, and to me, L'Briyas Ha'olam means what it meant to our fathers. It is as simple as that. Nevertheless, we still may continue to search for answers to the questions I've raised, and in doing so, we pray to Hashem that He may enlighten our eyes. Shem Yerainai Kolam Achakim L'Geula Krovim Meher V'Yameinu Amen. So that's what he goes through. Now for the Mishmaros over here. B'meyo Yakam Ayikwanim Rosh Avos L'Sraya. Right? There was L'Sraya for Sraya. Meraya L'Yirmiya Hananya. Okay, so for Sraya there was Meraya. For Yirmiya there was Hananya. L'Ezra Meshul Amaria Yohanan. Limlichu Yonasan Lishmanya Lishanya Yosef Lecharim Adna Lemarayos Chelkoi Leido Zecharia Leginson Meshulam Laabia Zichri Leminyamin Lemoadaya Piltoi. I think his name was Minyamin Lemoadaya. I'm not positive exactly, but Piltoi was the guy who was in charge over there. Levilga. Now everybody knows Bilga, right? Did anybody learn the Masechta Sukkah at the very end?
Their lock.
Right. They were taken out because of what happened with their daughter, that one girl, Shambua. Right. Exactly.
What does this mean? What are we talking about here?
So all these are the Mishmaros. They're all the Mishmaros. So Bilgo was the name of the Mishmar. The person in charge was Shamua. Shmaya was the name of the Mishmar. Yehonasan was the guy in charge. Lo Yariv, Matnai, Yedaya, Uzi. Salai Kala, Kaloi, La'amok was Aver, Lechokia was Chashavia, Lidaya was Nisano. Halavim Bimeo Yashav Yona, Yo Yoda, Yochanan, Biyadum, Ksuvim Rashi Elvis, they wrote down the heads of their fathers, Akwanim, Al Malchus, Der Yavish Aparsi, and they put it in by Der Yavish the Persian. B'nai Levi, Rashi, so the B'nai Levi, I'm sorry, the sons of Levi's Rashi Elvis, Ksuvim, how much further until the end of the paragraph? I'd rather just finish it off. We got a lot of names. All right, we'll have to stop right over here. You're right. Let's start by the Levium or by Chav Beis. I want to point out one last thing, by the way. Yeah. Some say that Yohonah's son is Yochanan, and its name is changed from Yochanan to Yonas, and over here, no one knows why. This is Yochanan later that we said was the father of Yadua. This one over here was Yonah's son, right over there, and he was also known as Yochanan. Now, the Gemara calls him Yochanan, etc. It's unlikely that this is... Wait, am I saying the right one? Where is this? 22, Chav Beis. No, I'm sorry. Here, Bimeel Yashiv Yoyada V'Yochanan. Right, Yochanan over there. This Yochanan was a Kohen Gadol, right, who is known as Yonasan up above. It's unlikely this is the Yochanan Kohen Gadol that the Gemara speaks of. You guys remember Yochanan Kohen Gadol?
Matzil's father.
No, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the one who ended up becoming a Tzeduki after 80 years. It's unlikely this is the one. Most likely that happened a lot later. Most likely because Tzadok probably didn't live yet, so the Tzedukim didn't exist yet. That's the most likely over here. But either way, regardless, whoever this Yochanan was, right, he could have been this guy.
You just names, unlikely. So it could be a great
Yeah, you'd assume. It might not even be a grandson. It might just be another guy altogether. Yeah, it could have been someone there. All right, we'll stop with that. We're up to Chav Beis.